We took off. Our mission was to go get it, join up with an air refueling tanker, take about 4,000 pounds of gas, and then we're going to do our air-to-air work, our air-to-air dogfighting, if you will, or intercepts out over the Atlantic Ocean. We do it out over the ocean so we can train like we find. We can execute the fundamentals. We can go supersonic without knocking pictures off of people's walls and they getting all upset with us. So we do all of that. We're on our third engagement when my life changed forever. Every day is normal until that one instant. We went into a right-hand turn. We were 24,000 feet, 400 knots. It was a moonless night. No moon, no stars, no discernible horizon, out over the Atlantic Ocean, about 100 miles out. No city lights to look at. It's a black hole. I'm sure you've all been there. We went into a right-hand turn at 24,000 feet and 400 knots, and about 100 degrees through the turn, that airplane started talking. And I happened to be listening. And what I was hearing and what I was seeing didn't make sense. I brought up an electronic ADI, attitude direction indicator, down between my legs on a color display. That had me pointed straight at the Earth. My HUD had me in a 60-degree right-hand turn at 24,000 feet, 400 knots. I wasn't at 24,000 feet nor 400 knots. I was at 17,000 feet and 600 knots. This airplane is screaming at the water. I have a WISO. We call them weapon systems officers. Sometimes we call them R2-D2 or GIB, guide back. Captain Dennis White. I'm asking Dennis, I'm going, D-Dub, what's going on? He said, I don't know, but we need to recover. I said, I'm trying. What's our attitude? He said, I don't know, dude. And that's not a good feeling. From 17,000 feet to 10,000 feet, I took the stick. I moved the stick back and forth. I could feel the airplane roll. I saw the ADI ball roll. I saw my HUD symbology was frozen in a 60-degree right-hand turn. I uprighted the pitch ladder on my attitude direction indicator, but the ADI wasn't properly designed. The manufacturers deviated from the fundamentals. I didn't know if I was upside down or right side up. There was no sky or ground pointer on the display. Once you got below 30 degrees nose low, you lost the horizon line. The font size on the numbers on either side of the pitch ladder were so small that at night, with the brightness and contrast of the display turned down, you couldn't read the numbers. That is a sick feeling. I had 5 seconds to figure this out. From 17,000 feet to 10,000 feet, I've got the pitch ladder straight up and down. I know my wings are level with the horizon. I don't know if I'm upside down or right side up. We're going through 10,000 feet. We're now supersonic. I said, we have to get out. We cannot recover this airplane because I don't know where to pull. If I pull through the horizon, I've just wasted several thousand feet. If I roll and pull, I've still wasted thousands of feet. Bail out, bail out, bail out. I made that decision at 10,000 feet. Commanded the bailout, got a body position, and pulled the handles. We're at 6,000 feet. The canopy goes off at 4,500 feet. Dennis goes out at 3,000 feet. I left the cockpit at 1,500 feet. I got my parachute about 500 feet above the water. My body went from 800 miles an hour, Mach 1.15, to hanging under a parachute in 3 seconds. Let me try to describe what that feels like. Standing in front of a fast-moving train. It hurts. The wind blast at that speed, I don't know if you've ever stuck your hand out the window when you're driving down the highway. Kids do that, you know, flying their hand, go like that, blows it back at 60 miles an hour. Hurricanes destroy homes, buildings at 200 miles an hour. Race cars hit the wall and disintegrate at 200 miles an hour. 800 miles an hour, it starts ripping you apart. It immediately blew my helmet and mask right off of my head. It broke all the blood vessels in my head and face. My head was literally swollen the size of a basketball. My lips were the size of cucumbers. My eyeballs were completely black from the blood vessels broken. My earplugs were blown out of my ears. My front teeth were chipped from the mic inside the mask, hitting my teeth before my helmet went off. My life preserver, they had never tested any of this equipment at this speed. It shredded. My left arm went around. It hit the back of the seat. It dislocated my elbow, blew my arm backwards. My right arm went back, separated my shoulder. The buckle of my harness broke my ribs. My right leg snapped the ejection handle off. My leg went across the jagged part of the handle, cut through the G-suit, flight suit, and gashed the back of my leg open. There's retaining bars on either side of the seat. They're designed to keep your legs within the confines of the seat. Not at this speed. My leg spent those bars out about 45 degrees, split the seat in half. My leg went out under the windstream, and it started whipping. The only thing holding my right leg on at the knee joint was the artery, the vein, the nerve, and the skin. It was just dangling. My left leg, when it couldn't go out any further, it snapped at the bottom half. My foot then started spinning in the wind. How we doing? It's a nice early morning breakfast conversation, isn't it? Do I need any more donuts? I'm literally a chocolate mess, but the best is yet to come. I'm 65 miles off the coast in the Atlantic, coming down in a parachute, feeling like I'd been hit by a freight train. I have no idea how high I'm above the water or how long it's going to be before I hit the water, but I need to get busy. I looked up to my parachute to see if it was properly inflated and working. I couldn't see it. That's how black it was. I was floating, wasn't falling, so I thought, okay, that's working. The next process, we're supposed to take our visor, put it up on top of our helmet, discard our mask. I don't have to worry about that step. It's gone. Then we come down and we deploy a seat kit. When we separate from the seat, it's supposed to automatically deploy, and I have a 15-foot line hanging off of my right hip, which is attached to a one-man life raft. Another 15-foot line attached to a rucksack survival kit pulls a CO2 cartridge pin that partially inflates that life raft. I reach down with my one functioning arm, and I could tell that that had deployed. I then came up to try to inflate my life preserver, looked down, and it looked like I had rags hanging around my shoulder. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm hoping my life raft doesn't look like this. I then had the presence of mind with my one functioning arm and my teeth. I reeled that life raft up to me. Just at the point I grabbed a hold of that raft and could tell it was inflated, I hit the water. That simple task saved my life. That parachute was partially shredded. I was falling faster than normal. Having hold of that inflated raft, I went under the water about 10 feet, but that raft pulled me back up to the surface. Otherwise, I would have drowned. I came to the surface. I'm in water temperature that's in the mid-50s. They always called it 60 degrees because if they called it 59 and a half, we had to wear exposure suits. We didn't like wearing the exposure suits, so they always called it 60 degrees. It was very cold. 5-foot seas, up and down. 15-knot surface winds. I came back up to the surface. I'm holding onto my raft. My parachute catches at 15 knots of wind, and I'm starting to be drugged through the ocean. Fortunately, they designed what we call SeaWARS. It's a saltwater activated release system. It senses the saltwater, fires a pyrotechnic charge that blows your risers away, keeps you from being drugged to death through the ocean, or when that parachute finally comes down and catches water, it would have taken you right down with it. That blew away. My risers blew away. I came to rest still holding onto that raft. I went to try to kick my legs to get in. When I did, the top half of my legs would go one way, the bottom half would go the other. That is not a natural feeling. I tried several times to get in just using my one arm. Unsuccessful. I don't know if you've ever tried to get in on those little pool floats in a swimming pool with everything working for you. Yeah, try to get into a life raft with one functioning arm and 5-foot seas. Impossible. I'm literally now to the point of exhaustion. I thought, this is it. I'm going to die today. If I don't get in this raft, I'll either be shark chum or I'll freeze to death from the cold water. Neither of which sounded too impressive. I did the only thing I knew to do. My grandma was a Sunday school teacher for 50 years. And she says, you know, whenever you're in a tight spot, you ask God for help. That's exactly what I did. See, I didn't want to die that night. I had a lot of stuff I needed to do. My primary reason I didn't want to die is because my wife was 4 months pregnant with our first child. Everything up until that point you've ever done in your life comes to a stop. What's important now is not how much money you make. It's not how successful you are. It's not what accomplishments you've had. It's your family. That right there should keep you focused on the fundamentals. I said, God, I can't die tonight. I got a wife and a baby need to see be born. If I don't get this raft, I'm going to freeze to death, and I need some help. I tried one more time. At the point I'd been unsuccessful all the previous times, I had that little extra push, and and in the wrath of it. Most of me. My right leg from the knee down was hanging 90 to the right over the side. My foot was turned around backwards and folded up underneath me. This arm is still bent backwards like that. And I'm looking at this picture. I'm in a green flight suit with arms and legs bent in every direction. And I'm thinking, dude, you're looking just like Gumby. And you really need to straighten yourself out.